Well, goodness sakes, boys and girls, it's time for an installment of an Adam Lepp program here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. And you never quite know what we're going to do during this program, and that's why we always encourage people to make sure their brain cells and eardrums are ready. And especially today, because this will be one of the more interesting and even better, one of the more controversial programs that's aired during my time slot. Adam Lepp here on WWGH Radio, broadcasting through the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. And of course, you can also listen the old-fashioned way, which I think is the best way, in and around the great city of Marion, Ohio, at 107.1 on your FM dial. So I kind of mentioned we were going to delve into a somewhat controversial but also very important issue, as it affects not just political thinking, but the economy, and as I see, the attitude of freedom in this country, the greatest country in the world. And that topic relates to mandatory garb that human beings would have to don when using transportation, such as airplanes and cruise ships. Of course, I'm referring to the masking requirements of airlines, cruise ships, and other modes of transportation. And I've been privileged today to have a gentleman on the phone that we're going to introduce shortly. His name is Lucas Wall. He is involved in a legal matter suing multiple parties over this, what I believe to be ridiculous, and I guess that's the word I can say on the radio, but I was actually thinking of a few other things. This ridiculous mandate relating to masks and similar garb on airlines and cruise ships. As you may know from following me on Facebook and on the air, I'm a person who believes that you should keep your laws off my body, except in some rare instances, and this isn't one of those instances. If you want to wear a mask, you want to wear a hazmat suit or whatever, on a bus, airline, cruise ship, go for it. And I completely respect your decision. But I don't think that should be required. But I also believe that wearing a mask on a cruise ship or airplane is counterproductive. That has a net negative effect. Marginal value is a medical device, and it's damaging to your mental health and to your physical health. It isn't natural to wear a mask while you're sitting on a cruise ship or plane or what have you. But again, if you feel that that's a good idea, go for it. We have a gentleman named Lucas Wall, and he lives in the sunny and almost always warm state of Florida. He writes a blog about travel. Guy travels and is much more worldly than I am. And certainly he is the kind of person who I think is quite appropriate for speaking about this. And let me see if the intern has properly plugged the right cables into the right places, put the volumes at the right level, and let's see if Ma Bell is also cooperating. So Lucas out there in Florida, how are you on this fine day?
Hi Adam, thanks for having me on. Just a quick correction, I'm at my mother's in Florida right now, where I've been for the last several months, but I actually live in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
Okay. See, on live radio, it's okay, because sometimes we do goof just a bit. But your legal action does relate to Florida. So I guess I was kind of half right. But with me, you know, yeah. Lucas, I never take myself too seriously. So if I do have a minor guffaw, I'm the first one to giggle at it. But yes, you live
That's okay. You're half right. I live in Washington, D.C., but I've been at my mother's in Florida for most of this year, and I'm now kind of stuck here because I've been banned from flying back to D.C. and other locations because of this outrageous federal transportation mask mandate that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention plus the Transportation Security Administration ordered without taking any notice and comment from the public after Biden took office.
Aha. Uh-huh. So again, I guess I'm sort of half right, but that's okay. Just adds to the fun. So first, Lucas, tell us a little bit about yourself. I believe you write a blog about the various locales that you have visited, and you are a man who loves geography as I do and loves travel and likes to share your experiences with people. That would be correct.
I do. My blog is lucas.travel, It's a little out of date because I haven't had the chance to travel abroad during the last 16 months or so of the COVID-19 pandemic, but I have been to 134 countries, and I have 61 to go in my life quest to set foot in all 195.
That's quite impressive. I've only been to four, and Germany only because that's where I was born on the Army base, so haven't been there in, well, let's say, since I was 2 months old, and that was quite a while back.
My brother and his wife live in Germany, and I've been prohibited from visiting them this summer, as I had planned, due to both the mask requirement and another outrageous CDC order called the International Traveler Testing Requirement that requires all travelers, even those who are vaccinated from COVID like I am, to get a negative COVID test and present it to the airline before boarding an international flight to the United States. So I'm challenging both of those CDC orders, although obviously the mask mandate gets a heck of a lot more attention than the international traveler testing requirement. Yeah,
we will cover that soon. It is quite fascinating from a political and historical perspective, but it's also tragic that we're the land of the free, home of the brave. And again, Germany can do what they want. You know, I have an affection for Germany. Again, I was born there. I took German. I speak, you know, enough German to get by. I like a lot of German
food. Good.
And here in Ohio, a lot of people are of German ancestry, but it's just a shame what's kind of going on there in Western Europe. And we will cover that. So you are a person who enjoys traveling. You've traveled to dozens and dozens of countries. I've only been to four. And again, if you don't even count Germany, because I was born on the Army base, which is U.S. property. We went to Mexico during my childhood, and I went to college. You could almost walk to Canada. So I've been to Canada many times, but not since 9/11 when they did strengthen the requirements, and not since COVID, but certainly have been to many parts of Canada, not just the part that is near the United States. It's a great country, as long as you don't mind it being cold. Of course, in the summer, the weather is wonderful, lots of sunshine, fresh, clean air, very friendly people. Lots of great ethnic restaurants, but not had the pleasure of going to that fine country in quite some time. And I certainly do miss going up there. But a lot of things to do here in Ohio, but it's good to travel around. And it helps you as a person and helps you share your experiences as you've done. Again, Lucas Wall is my guest here on the Adam Lepp Mid-Morning and Mid-Afternoon Coffee Break. Adam, the Computer Guy radio programs here on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. So, Lucas, you certainly are somebody who is very qualified to speak about this, and you take it personally, and as an American, as a human being, you have some serious issues with these requirements, and have taken some serious action that we do want to talk about. Let's rewind several weeks back to June 2nd. Now, as you may know, Lucas, June 2nd was a big day in Ohio because that was the day that the COVID restrictions were lifted by our governor, Mike DeWine. No more masks. No more social distancing. Of course, businesses are allowed to have requirements, and the CDC and national requirements are different from what might have in Ohio. But as someone who goes to a restaurant almost every day, and I do, I'm known to go to a bar every now and then to do karaoke or have a beer or other social activities. I did notice that as of June 2nd, all the masking requirements were gone. Some people did choose to wear a mask and still do, and that's their right, and I fully respect it. But as my listeners and Facebook followers know, I'm one of the most anti-mask people you're likely to meet. Again, I'm heavily educated in science. That has influenced my decision, but honestly, just knowledge of my own body and just world observations, I don't believe that in most cases a mask is going to be beneficial. In fact, I believe that it's detrimental. And the social distancing, well, I like to joke and say that I've been social distancing ever since it wasn't cool, but that's kind of a negative comment that we've turned into a humorous one, but, you know, laughter is the best medicine, especially in these tough times. So June 2nd was a, I would say, good day in Ohio. Ironically, it was a day after my birthday, and it was 2 days after Memorial Day, which celebrates the brave men and women who sacrificed their lives in the name of freedom. And it seems like on June 2nd, we gained a lot of freedom here in Ohio. Now, your governor, bit controversial, Lucas, Mr. DeSantis, and your governor in Florida, since we're kind of establishing where you actually live. But I guess Florida's like a second home, so we're sort of
close. Yeah, my mom's home. My mom's governor.
Yeah, and I don't agree with him on all issues, as I'm a politically independent person. But certainly,
as am I.
And I think most Americans probably are, unless you run for a high office. But yeah, I'm very, very politically independent, and I'm far right on some things, far left on others, and eclectic pretty much all around. But he liberalized the masking and other requirements way before it was done in Ohio. And certainly there is some controversy now about whether or not that was a good step. And, you know, that's not related too much to what we're talking about today, but it does get into the concept of freedom, land of the free, home of the brave. If you don't feel safe going to a bar, to a restaurant, to a gym, or to the grocery store, stay home. No one is forcing you to do that. And that's kind of like what Mr. DeSantis, what his perspective is, and it's one that I certainly agree with. And we think of DeSantis as a very likely presidential candidate in 24. I certainly would be in that school of thought. So I think he's kind of preparing for that. And you know, as the presidential election of 2024 gets closer, we shall find out. So anyway, Lucas, thank you again for being on the show today. I've been kind of alluding to this for the last few minutes, and let's go ahead and talk about it, as it's, again, fascinating from a historical perspective, but also from the idea that here in America we value our freedom. On June 2nd, you were denied the ability to board a flight out of Orlando, Florida. And exactly what happened on that fateful day?
Well, I had a flight booked on Southwest Airlines, just a quick hop down to Fort Lauderdale to visit a friend of mine who actually lives in Toronto, Canada. You were just mentioning some of the lovely hoods of that nation.
Wonderful, beautiful country with friendly people and some great food.
He is an American, but he's lived in Canada for a long time. His mother lives down in Hollywood, Florida, near Fort Lauderdale. So I went to the Orlando airport to take a hop down there, my first flight in more than a year, which is totally unprecedented in my adult life. I usually fly upwards of 50 or 60 flights a year to all over the world. And I went up to the TSA security checkpoint, and I presented my boarding pass, and the agent said, "You need to wear a mask," and he reached into a box to hand me one of those ubiquitous blue surgical type masks. And I said, "No, I'm not going to wear that. I have a generalized anxiety disorder. It gives me a feeling of a panic attack and hyperventilation when I try to cover my face. I can't do that." I submitted the exemption form to Southwest, didn't get a response. And also, I'm fully vaccinated, so that's another reason there's no purpose for me in putting a mask on. And then it started a whole lengthy brouhaha of the TSA agent asking me to step aside and calling four or five of his managers and supervisors, a representative of the Orlando airport, and maybe four supervisors from Southwest Airlines to all huddle for an hour or so and finally tell me, as my flight was starting to board, that I would not be allowed to fly.
So the anxiety disorder certainly is, I wouldn't call it a disability. I think we all have anxiety, and certainly when you're at an airport, it's a bit intimidating. But it is a condition where, besides your medical state and the vaccination, whether or not the vaccination is effective or partially effective, I mean, is that even relevant? You certainly have.
That's a whole other topic, yeah. But I do want to assert that just like I support freedom of choice when it comes to whether to muzzle yourself or not, I support freedom of choice for vaccines. I am vaccinated. That's my choice. But my lawsuit seeking to strike down the mask mandate is seeking that for all persons vaccinated or not. So I just want to clarify that for you and your listeners that
right.
Although I'm vaccinated, I'm not someone that wants to impose my opinion on others, just like I expect for people who are pro-mask to not infringe on my liberty by ordering me to wear a face covering.
So you were denied the ability then, and you were not able to board the flight. And
correct.
You have filed a lawsuit. Now, you are suing the CDC as well as several airlines. Is that correct?
Well, there's two different lawsuits. The first one is against eight governmental agencies, six federal, two local. And the second lawsuit is against seven airlines, Southwest, and six others that I had tickets purchased to fly on this summer. And essentially, I've been denied all of those flights because the airline's process for considering mask exemptions violates numerous provisions of the Air Carrier Access Act, which is like the Americans with Disabilities Act, but specifically for the aviation sector, prohibits discrimination against anyone, such as myself, who has a medical condition. The airlines make it virtually impossible to get an exemption. And like me, I booked my ticket to fly to Fort Lauderdale 2 days before the flight and submitted the exemption form as soon as I booked the ticket, but never got a response. And Southwest said, well, our policy is you have to submit this form at least a week in advance. Well, no one was able to answer the question of how am I supposed to submit a form a week in advance when I booked my ticket 2 days in advance.
Yeah, there are a lot of holes in that. So you and I may not agree on everything related to this, so I think we agree on 95% of it. But the concept of requiring masking at the government level is illegal. It is not something that is consistent with the way we roll in this country, out of lack of a better way to say it. And the airlines, too, have no business discriminating against you. It's just like discriminating against someone who might use a wheelchair or be blind.
Correct.
Certainly, the idea of bringing on an assistance animal, that's come up a lot. And certainly, if someone does need to have that assistance and has the documentation, the airline is not allowed to deny boarding. And we're seeing some parallels, and it's not a perfect analogy, but there certainly are similarities, as it seems like we're turning the clock backwards in accommodating all people regardless of any disability.
Yeah, Adam, we have a huge problem in this country right now where since this federal transportation mask mandate took effect February 1, upon the inauguration of President Biden, he issued an executive order January 21st, his second day in office, instructing CDC and TSA and these other federal agencies to put into place this illegal and unconstitutional mask mandate that covers all forms of transportation in the United States, not just airplanes, but city buses, subways, commuter rails, Amtrak, Greyhound, other long-distance buses, even Uber, Lyft, taxis, cruise ships, and ferries. And the list is just unbelievably long of how many forms of transportation. Basically, unless you're driving in your car by yourself, you are mandated by the federal government to wear a mask, regardless of your vaccination status, regardless of whether you've already had COVID and you have natural immunity and are therefore no threat to contract the disease and pass it on to others. And we have just this completely, as you said, ridiculous policy that has no foundation in the law or the Constitution. I'll point out for your listeners, some may know this, some may not, but the Congress has never passed into law any mask mandate anywhere in the nation. Yet the CDC and the TSA and the Biden administration are putting this mandate into place with no congressional authorization. And that is what I am challenging in my lawsuit.
There are the similarities between that and Ohio, where the health department people seem to have decided that they can make the laws. They can certainly advise. And again, we say there are good and bad points of any action. But as Americans, land of the free, home of the brave, we should make our own decisions. And really, there are two issues, Lucas. One is this effective? Is a mask effective? Is social distancing effective? In my opinion, the mask is actually worse than nothing, because it does have serious emotional implications. It's not natural to sit there with half your face covered. And whether it actually blocks a virus incoming or outgoing, well, that's debatable. As I'm rather well educated on that, I say, as a minimal effect, I think an N95, when worn properly, has some effect, But again, it's counterproductive when you take a look at the bad sides of it. Plus, the default human condition, Lucas, is healthy. Suddenly, people are saying the default human condition is being infected. Well, that's another thing we could spend about a week's worth of shows on. But bottom line is, I completely support you in that it is a person's decision whether or not to wear this appliance. And if there is a disability involved, well, the airline cannot deny boarding due to that. And multiple holes here, and the Biden administration has well overstepped their bounds and making a lot of people uncomfortable and upset about this, even people that used to support him. I'm someone who used to like Joe Biden, as I felt he was very moderate, he was agreeable. But the Joe Biden we're seeing in this administration, not the one from even a year or two ago. And it's making me uncomfortable, but you know, again, life goes on. If you don't like the president we have in office, well, we'll be electing another one in 2024, and that'll certainly be another interesting election, to put it mildly, just like all the recent ones have been. And I think that these requirements will be a large part of that. So when you filed the lawsuit, Lucas, you really went right up to the top. Justice Thomas recently denied your emergency application for a preliminary injunction. So what exactly happened there, and what's kind of the course of events leading up to Justice Thomas making that rather landmark decision?
Well, I wouldn't call it a landmark decision. It was a ruling on an emergency application. But let me step back. So June 2nd, I was denied boarding. June 7th, I initiated the lawsuit in the U.S. District Court in Orlando, since that's where the airport was located, where I was denied travel. I asked for a temporary restraining order. The district judge denied it, ruling that I wasn't suffering irreparable harm by not being able to fly. I disagree with that. But I brought that issue to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which declined to hear the case at this early phase. So that prompted me to file the emergency application to Justice Clarence Thomas at the Supreme Court, because he supervises the federal courts in Florida, Alabama, and Georgia. And I asked him to grant a preliminary injunction halting enforcement of the mask mandate while my case proceeds on the merits in the district court. Unfortunately, he denied that application, but it was no landmark decision. It was a decision that simply said, application denied by Justice Thomas, period. And I was told that is not uncommon and will, you know, has no precedential value on the merits of my case. It was simply a decision that the Supreme Court would not get involved in the case at this early phase, which, again, is typical, but I figured you will never have a shot of success if you don't at least swing at the ball. So that's how the case made it up quickly to the Supreme Court, and now it's fallen back down to the trial court, and I'm awaiting the government's response to my request for a judgment. They have until August 9th to file that. One point I wanted to make, I'm going to stay out of the politics of this because my case has nothing to do with politics. I have my own feelings on Biden, both positive and negative. But the effect of the CDC order is that essentially you have tens of millions of Americans, such as myself, who have medical conditions that we can't tolerate having an obstruction of our only two sources of oxygen, our nose and our mouth. And because the exemption process has been so onerous and impossible, you essentially have a huge percentage of Americans who have been banned from the entire public transportation system, which is a huge problem, especially for people like myself who don't own an automobile and choose not to own an automobile. So I rely wholly on public transportation in addition to my own feet and my bicycle to get around. And we've never had a circumstance in this country where you've had a substantial portion of the population essentially banned from being able to travel around the country or to other countries. And that is a significant and horrible erosion of our civil liberties that I am trying to correct in this lawsuit.
Adam here on The Talking Place, speaking to Mr. Lucas Wall, who normally hangs his hat in the nation's capital of Washington, D.C., but is currently residing in the Sunshine State of Florida. He was denied boarding on an airline on June 2nd of this year due to not wishing to wear a mask. Land has filed a lawsuit against several government agencies as well as several airlines. And certainly he and I agree that this lawsuit is important. We need to set a precedent. And again, if you feel that it's not safe to use commercial public transportation, don't use it. And if you want to wear a mask, wear one. If you want to wear a suit of armor, wear one. Or if you don't want to wear one, that's fine, too. It's not part of a regular dress code, and especially those who may have a mental or physical disability. It is a direct violation of the ADA, which everybody I know, including myself, supports wholeheartedly. And so, again, this is an important interview, and one certainly that's going to stir controversy, but it's important that we get the dialogue on this. Now, last Friday, July 23rd, Lucas, there was some pretty good news on a headline written by Tucker Higgins of CNBC.com. Appeals court blocks CDC restrictions on cruises in wind for Florida. Federal appeals court on Friday the 23rd sided with Florida and its challenge against the CDC and over federal regulations for cruise ships that the state said were too onerous and were costing it millions of dollars in foregone tax revenue. This is an economic issue, too, as airlines and cruise ships, buses, even Uber and Lyft drivers, they fuel the economy. That's, again, part of what makes America great. It's a city where people travel. I mean, like yourself, travel around the country, travel regionally, travel to a foreign country. And the economic and emotional impact of this is ginormous, to put it mildly. Now, when you saw that article and found out about this, I assume you were pretty happy. You feel that that at least is some progress that was made.
Oh, I literally jumped for joy, Adam. This was a huge concern for me because just a week ago, the 11th Circuit panel ruled 2-1 to block a preliminary injunction against the CDC's onerous cruise ship regulations that have been issued by a federal judge in Tampa, which is the same judicial district as where my case is in Orlando. Then all of a sudden, on Friday, the 23rd, Governor DeSantis and the Attorney General of Florida filed an emergency application to Justice Thomas at the Supreme Court, just as I had done a few weeks ago, asking for the appeals court's decision staying the preliminary injunction pending its full review of the matter. And before Justice Thomas could even consider this, the news came out later Friday that the 11th Circuit panel reversed itself, and without comment, it issued a new order 3-0 sustaining the preliminary injunction issued against the CDC and allowing for Florida and the cruise industry here to move forward without these insane and illegal rules that the CDC had imposed for cruise ships to get started again. So this has a huge possible implication for my case, because this cruise ship case is at the federal court in Tampa, as I noted, the same court that my case is in the Orlando division. And so I'm really excited that now we have the Supreme Court last month issued a ruling indicating there are at least 5 votes to strike down the CDC's eviction moratorium, which completely exceeds its statutory authority. And now we have the 11th Circuit panel ruling 3-0 that it was not going to block the preliminary injunction from halting the CDC's enforcement of these cruise ship orders. So we have 2 huge decisions now from higher courts illustrating that there is great skepticism among the judges and justices that sit on the appellate courts that these pandemic orders issued by CDC without any congressional authority are not going to be allowed to stand.
Speaking with Lucas Wall here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, about what we feel are atrocious, out of lack of a better term, requirements that people who use commercial and public transportation in this great country wear a mask. We're not necessarily saying that isn't a good idea, but we are saying that if you choose to wear a mask, that's fine. If you choose not to wear a mask, that's fine also. And if you have a mental or physical disability, the ADA should be honored. And that the United States is essentially breaking its own law by not doing that. Now, there was quite a bit of a victory last Friday that Lucas just told us about regarding cruise ships. And again, his lawsuit relates to airplanes, but certainly there are similarities. It relates to commercial transportation. Do you think that knowledge of your legal action, Lucas, influenced that ruling from last Friday? How many people and organizations do you feel are aware of this? And even Governor DeSantis, do you think he might be aware of it? Or what kind of a motivation was there for that rather major turn of events?
Well, I'd love to boast that my case somehow had an impact on the cruise ship decision, but I don't think I could say that with a straight face. I have been in communications with some lawyers at the Florida Attorney General's office about my case. They have prosecuted the case against the CDC when it comes to cruise ships because Florida is the biggest home port state for cruise ships in America, and Florida has been economically devastated by the CDC shutdown of the cruise industry since March of last year due to the pandemic. I have had many Americans and organizations reach out. There's been a lot of media coverage of my case since it's the first one in the nation to challenge all aspects of the federal mask mandate in addition to the international traveler testing requirement, and they have expressed their support. I've had a GoFundMe campaign to raise money to help pay some of my legal expenses. I don't have the money to hire an attorney to prosecute this, so I'm doing this all as myself as a non-lawyer, and it's certainly wonderful to have the support of other Americans who do not believe they should have to wear a mask while traveling. Or in my case, you had mentioned earlier, I don't wish to wear a mask. It's not just that, it's that I cannot safely wear a mask because of my medical condition. And there are millions, probably tens of millions, of our fellow citizens who are in that same situation. And so I've submitted a lot of declarations from these folks who have reached out to me who can't wear a mask and have been banned from flying and using other modes of transportation. So it would be great if I could say that my case influenced the Court of Appeals to change its ruling, but honestly, this came as a total shock. As I said, Florida earlier on Friday had just filed this emergency application with Justice Thomas at the Supreme Court to try and have this preliminary injunction reinstated. And then without any explanation, the Court of Appeals changed its vote from 2-1 against Florida to 3-0 in favor of Florida and against the CDC to block these cruise regulations. There's been no written explanation yet from the Court of Appeals as to why this sudden reversal came about. And I don't know if there will be, because with these preliminary motions in the federal courts, you typically don't always get an explanation as to why something was granted or denied. So that might stay a mystery. But the impact for my case is fantastic because it shows to the trial court that, hey, the Court of Appeals has signaled that it is going to allow this injunction against the cruise ship rules to stay in place. And the same legal reasoning applies to the mask mandate and the testing requirement.
So these actions, lawsuits are similar, not the same, but the mentality certainly is in the same ballpark. Again, it's the land of the free, home of the brave. Wear a mask if you want, or don't wear a mask. But also, again, from a very legal viewpoint, Lucas, do you agree with me that the United States is breaking its own law related to the Americans with Disability Act, that they're being hypocritical, and that Joe Biden, too, how much he's behind this? I mean, he's the president. I mean, as Mr. Truman said, the buck stops here. So as I see it, he's fully responsible.
Since the ADA was passed in 1990, I don't think we've seen another situation of this kind of massive, wide-scale discrimination against people with disabilities, or as you noted earlier, like myself, I wouldn't really call them anxiety disorder disability, but a medical condition that falls under the ADA. Breathing is listed specifically in the law, obviously, as one of the major life functions that is protected from discrimination by the ADA. Without breathing, we have no life, and so any federal policy that requires covering your only two sources of oxygen is just a incredibly destructive policy in terms of our human health. As you mentioned, there are a lot of studies coming out that show not just that masks have had no positive benefit in terms of reducing the spread of coronavirus. In fact, 85% of Americans who caught COVID said in surveys that they were regular mask wearers. There have also been a lot of studies, including one big one out of Germany recently, that showed there are dozens and dozens of negative health effects of prolonged mask wearing. So my case has a lot of different issues. There's 21 charges I have put in the complaint against the federal government for all kinds of legal, constitutional, and regulatory violations. One thing I wanted to touch on that I haven't noted yet, because you were talking about how Ohio lifted its mask mandate June 2nd, the same day that I was denied boarding my flight and kind of got this whole lawsuit going. There's a major 10th Amendment issue here where the states historically have always had the power to police public health measures within their borders. And we have a situation in America now where 49 out of the 50 states, every single state except for Hawaii, no longer requires masks to be worn by vaccinated persons. And I believe we're up to about 40 states now that don't have a mask mandate even for unvaccinated people. So you have the federal government, without congressional authority, stepping on the states and telling 49 of the states that we're going to come in as big brother and overrule your state mask policy, which is a total violation of the state's rights guaranteed under the 10th Amendment of the Constitution. And that's one of my central arguments here, is that there's a legal doctrine that the federal government cannot make state officials enforce federal orders, even if they are valid, which the mask mandate is not. But for instance, a lot of transit workers work for the state or for local governments, for cities, counties, regional transit authorities that all fall under the umbrella of state governmental authority. And the federal government is mandating that these state and local officials have to enforce this mask order, which is completely unconstitutional.
It's a slippery slope, to say the least. Speaking with Mr. Lucas Wall, who is currently in the great state of Florida, he has filed a lawsuit against several government agencies and airlines relating to what we agree is an unconstitutional and illegal mask mandate on airplanes and cruise ships, and even when you take an Uber or a Lyft. The United States is breaking its own ADA, something that everybody I know, myself included, wholeheartedly support. And many implications here, and does it come down to the current administration and what will be the outcome? As most states now have lifted the mask requirement, whether or not you are vaccinated, and just coincidentally on June 2nd, Lucas filed this lawsuit the same day that the great state of Ohio lifted its mask and social distancing requirements. But that's just at a state level. There are still these laws at the federal level. So you've got a lot of media coverage, Lucas, as would be expected. And we don't know if your actions affected this major and very positive decision of Friday the 23rd. But we would agree that if we were to three-way call Mr. DeSantis, he would be greatly applauding what you're doing and supporting what you're doing, as we're in this together. And of course, we might not find that in every single state. If we were to patch Dr. Fauci into this conversation, he probably would not agree with us. But I would take that opinion with a grain of salt, to put it politely. But we would agree that Governor DeSantis and many others would agree with this and applaud you. Now, you mentioned, Lucas, you filed pro se or filed without an attorney. And I've looked at some of the documents you filed. They look outstanding, like they were filed by an experienced attorney. So I commend you for that. Do you have a legal background, or have you had to kind of take a crash course in how to do this? And tell us a little bit about that and the legal process that you filed as a private citizen.
Yeah, that's one of the fortunate things we have in this country, Adam, is the ability of any Joe Smith citizen to bring an action in court, whether or not they have the financial resources to hire a lawyer. I'm fortunate in a couple of regards. My father is a retired lawyer, so I was exposed to the law growing up, helping out in his law office. He ran a single practice on his own, not working at a big firm or anything like that. I also studied journalism and political science in college, so I interned in the U.S. Senate and the Missouri House of Representatives, and again, more exposure to the law there. As a journalist in my previous career, I covered a lot of court cases and legal issues, and I've been involved in a couple court cases in the past that I've prosecuted on my own, so I probably have a lot more legal knowledge than the average non-attorney citizen does, but a lot of it is just reading and learning as you go. This is the first time I've ever sued the federal government, and there's a lot involved when you do that, and obviously you're going up as one private citizen against the might of the Department of Justice and all of the lawyers and resources that it has to fight against you. But that is a blessing of the United States. A lot of countries, people in my circumstance and other American circumstances who are being discriminated against, they would have absolutely no recourse. They would just have to take the authoritarian dictates from the president and his administration. Here, we at least have a chance to fight back, and that's really fortunate. We'll see what the court does with my case. But as a private person, anybody has the ability to file a lawsuit challenging the federal action. All you need is $400 to file the case, a couple $100s to print all the documents and mail them to the government authorities. And then from there, it's just a lot of work. I've been working on this case 2 months now on a virtual full-time basis. So it's kept me very busy. It involves a lot of energy and time and research and reading, but it's something that the average person can do in our country if you have the intellect and the patience and the willingness to learn the process and basically research other similar cases and kind of emulate their arguments and figure out what the legal process is.
Yeah, the ability to challenge even fancy government agencies, huge companies like airlines, one of the many reasons why this is the greatest country in the world. I mean, we want to keep it that way. And that's what your lawsuit's about, Lucas. It's challenging the spirit, challenging the challenge to the spirit of how we roll here in the United States. That
we have seen the greatest erosion of civil liberties in America in a generation or more because of this COVID-19 pandemic. I'm not a pandemic denier. I support some of the mitigation measures that were taken, the sensible ones, but I have not supported lockdowns. I have not supported business and school closures. Definitely have not supported masks. The scientific evidence just is not there to justify those kind of draconian policies. When on the flip side, the damage they have caused is just so enormous. It is just so tragic reading about the tens of millions of Americans who have lost their jobs because of these lockdown measures that were imposed last year. The mask mandate limiting the freedom of people just to go out and breathe fresh air and to go about going to the grocery store, going to the drugstore. They're essential life functions that we all have to do as humans. Traveling is just one of those, and obviously I know there's been challenges to mask mandates in a lot of other situations, including going in to shop at private stores and so forth. But we have to stand up as Americans, and I find it really sad that mine was the first case to challenge this federal transportation mask mandate when it impacts 2 million Americans who travel by airplane every day, and another couple tens of millions of Americans who rely on public transportation to get to work, to get to medical care, to visit family and friends. There's all kinds of situations. I had an aunt who just passed away a couple weeks ago, And fortunately, logistically, she was in Tampa, which is only an hour and a quarter from where my mom lives here in Central Florida. So we were able to drive there. If it had been one of my relatives who lived on the other side of the country, I don't know how I would have gotten to the funeral. So it's much more than just saying someone's personal choice on whether to wear a mask or not. There are severe, serious consequences of people who are losing their jobs because they don't own a car and they take public transportation to get to work, and they've been banned from the bus or the subway or the train because they can't wear a mask. And now they're out of work. So it's just devastating what the CDC and the TSA are doing. And I go back to, again, the fact that none of this, the cruise ship rules, the eviction moratorium, and the mask mandate and the testing requirement, none of these have been authorized by Congress, with the exception of the eviction moratorium, which Congress authorized for 1 month, but then CDC kept extending and extending and extending.
We want to thank Lucas Wall for joining me on a very interesting, thought-provoking, and controversial program. Lucas, we're going to have you back on maybe in a couple of weeks with more updates. Lucas is suing several government agencies and airlines over what we agree is an unconstitutional and illegal mask mandate on commercial and public transportation. Lucas, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. We will speak to you again soon. Adam here on The Talking Place, thanking you for listening. Again, we have a private email server, by the way, just like Hillary. But unlike Hillary, we read every single message, probably because we aren't quite as busy as she is. So we do appreciate all correspondences. Certainly let us know what you think about this interview and suggested questions next time I speak to Lucas. Adam at WWGH1071.com.